ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text Number 25. This chapter is titled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwaraka. Nityam Nirikshamananam Yatapi Dwarakaukasam నా వితృప్యందీహీదృశః శ్రీయో ధామాంగమచ్యుతం నిత్యం నిరీక్షమాణానాం యదపి ద్వారకౌకసాం నా వితృప్యందీహీదృశః శ్రీయో ధామాంగమచ్యుతం నిత్యం నిరీక్షమాణానాం యదపి ద్వారకౌకసాం నా విదృప్యంతి హీదృశః శ్రీయో ధామాంగమచ్యుతం నిత్యం రెగ్యులర్లీ or regularly always nirikshamananam of those who look at him yet although api in spite of dwaraka okasam the inhabitants of dwaraka na never vidrupyanti satisfied he exactly drishaha sight shriyaha beauties dhama angam the bodily reservoir achyutam the infallible translation the inhabitants of Dwaraka were regularly accustomed to look upon the reservoir of all beauty, the infallible Lord, yet they were never satiated. So here is a purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the ladies of the city of Dwaraka got upon the roofs of their palaces, they never thought that they had previously many times seen the beautiful body of the infallible Lord. This indicates that they had no satiation in desiring to see the Lord. Anything material seen for a number of times ultimately becomes unattractive by the law of satiation. The law of satiation acts materially, but there is no scope for it in the spiritual realm. The word infallible is significant here because although the Lord has mercifully descended on earth, he is still infallible. The living entities are fallible because when they come in contact with the material world, they lack their spiritual identity. And thus, the body materially obtained becomes subjected to birth, growth, transformation, situation, deterioration, and annihilation under the laws of nature. The Lord's body is not like that. He descends as he is and is never under the laws of the material modes. His body is the source of everything that be, the reservoir of all beauties beyond our experience. No one therefore is satiated by seeing the transcendental body of the Lord because there are always manifestations of newer and newer beauties. The transcendental name, form, qualities, antaraj, etc. are all spiritual manifestations, and there is no satiation in chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no satiation in discussing the qualities of the Lord. and there is no limitation of the entourage of the Lord. He is the source of all and is limitless. Om Gyana Timiranthasya Gyananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Ishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyadevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So here the description of the Lord's entrance into Dwaraka is continuing. Here the first point that is being described in the purport is about material satiation. How in the material world repeated actions becomes boring and one cannot derive any satisfaction out of it. So primarily if we look into the material world, it is nothing but repetition of four activities, which are nothing but the animalistic propensities. And as we know, they are eating, mating, sleeping and defending. So naturally, when one performs this activity, in one way or other, one doesn't derive any satisfaction. So they have to try in different ways of sense gratification. So, as Bhagavatam says, the process of sense gratification is chewing the chewed again and again. So, if you think about the bubble gum, if you chew that thing, they chew it. After some time, the juice is completely gone out of it. And if someone throws that, and if you try to pick that, and if you try to chew that again, how would it be? It's going to be a disaster. There's no taste whatsoever, but it is a trick of Maya that we think that there is some taste in sense gratification, meaning the meeting of the senses with the sense objects. So there is Vishaya and Vishayi. So there is the senses and the objects of the senses. So this combination is considered happiness in the material world. And naturally nobody is satisfied how many times they try. And so there are so many developments to facilitate this kind of chewing the chute again and again. So I was reading a technological report, technology review. It was interesting, in America, in Tennessee, one place, they provided internet with a connectivity speed of 1 gigabit per second, 1 GBS for everyone. All household, all offices, and if there are special requirements, they have a higher connection. But for a common man, there is 1 gigabit per second. So now, after that, they came upon with a contest. And the contest is how to use this 1 GB per second for a common man. What is the application of this? Because they don't know how to use it. The whole scene behind that was they got a grant for multi-billion dollars, and with that multi-billion dollars they actually provided this internet for all in the city with this high connection. And after that they came up with a contest in which the prize money was $500,000 or $1 million, something like that, so that one should everyone can compete in providing some plans, some schemes through which they can actually utilize this bandwidth, this 1 GBS. So no one knew how to use it. So what kind of advancement is this? There is high data rate, but don't know what to use. What's the use of it? Maybe one can download, you know, some proposals are, you know, one can download many movies of high, you know, high definition in few seconds. And some are health applications. So to provide some health reports, some high quality scan images, you know, shared between different doctors through this internet. So there are different proposals for this prize money. So this is ultimately just sense gratification, and there is no satisfaction. Can we think that, you know, with high internet one can get any kind of happiness or satisfaction? Maybe in a fleeting impulse for the senses, for the mind. Okay, we have a higher connection, so everything will be fine. What will be fine? Nothing will be fine. The life is all the same. So this is just Maya. Same with tongue. We think if there is more, there are more gratifications for the tongue, then there is more enjoyment. In fact, more gratification for the tongue in the material world means more sinful reaction, because more varieties of sins. If you go to a restaurant, most of the restaurant, at least 99.99% of the restaurant in the world are serving meat. And more money one has, he wants to eat more opulently. He wants to choose from more varieties of sins. So the whole idea is choosing among the sins, you know. Okay, this amount of sin or that amount of sins. There is nothing much. And ultimately, even though there are so much of variety, still, as it is mentioned here, there is material satiation. You know, in economics, there is a term. What is that? The marginal utility. What is it? Diminishing return of marginal utility, right? So, if one... in any case, say, if there is a factory and it can produce something, and if one thinks, okay, one can provide more and more employees in this factory, more and more workers in this factory, the rate of production would increase. It is true to some extent. After that, no, it will create more problems. So the actual production rate would reduce. So this is diminishing. So the material world is created in this way. If one thinks that with more material facility one can get happiness, it works the other way around. One doesn't. It's like for a millionaire or, you know, multimillionaire, we think if they become quite happy, but that's not the truth from the experience. You know, we were watching that video, still we remember, in one of the retreats, about a premature millionaire or a billionaire, or, you know, one who sold PayPal to Amazon. To Amazon or to eBay, yeah, for millions of dollars or billions of dollars. And he was in his 20s, that is early 20s. So he became prematurely rich. And there was a photograph that was shown after the deed. You know, he was, you know, wearing different caps and the whole party scene. So it seems that everything is happy, everything is fine. He was smiling with his friends, you know, bottle of champagne or whatever in his hand. Everything looked very rosy, nice. But after the interview with him, he was telling that year was the worst in his life. Worst year in his life. He said, I had a lot of money and I didn't know what to do with that. And then he again started another startup company. And his statement was that, if I can't make the same amount of money in next 5 years, I consider myself to be very stupid. So I had to work very hard. And he had a big flat in Manhattan. And the video, the documentary, those who made the documentary, they went to the flat, and the whole flat, the whole apartment was completely packed with things, and it is not unpacked. So he moved from his previous home to this particular apartment, and there were so many cardboard boxes with all his stuff. And it was he didn't get time, or he couldn't actually appoint anyone to unpack all the stuff and arrange the home. It was just lying there, many boxes. And from one of the boxes, he pulled out one notebook. And the interviewer was asking this guy, "What is this notebook? Is it your, you know, memory from your childhood?" So he said, no. He just opened and he showed a page which had a block diagram. And he said, "This is my original sketch of the design of PayPal. This is the architecture of PayPal. This is my original design. So I have kept this notebook." So this is just the whole possession. And his life is miserable to an extent that he works 60 to 70 hours in 1 week. Because he wants to achieve at least the same amount that he had achieved a few years back. So this is Maya. This is the covering potency of Maya. Thinking that by achieving more, one can become more happy and satisfied. But the reality is reversed. One is not satisfied. So here, Srila Prabhupada makes this point. Material satiation, it is just a dream. There is no satisfaction existing in this material world. It is not there. Any material experience cannot bring any happiness. People do travel. A lot of places to see beautiful places for nice experience, to enjoy different food, for to watch nice sceneries. But I had one nice experience. I was in my teens and I was in my state, you know, it is Kerala, I was born there. So it is known for its natural beauty, because one side is mountain, one side is a lot of beaches, it is on the coast. So one side is mountain, one side is coast, and in between there are a lot of rivers, around 5 rivers, big rivers, connected with canals. Some are man-made, some are natural. And it's a huge water body, you know, water channel can extend up to 900 kilometers. And at a stretch, at least 200 kilometers. So it is, and it's full green. So it is quite beautiful. So a lot of people go for tourism purpose. So I was in a train. I was just traveling from my hometown to somewhere else. And I saw, and it was, the scene was, in fact, it was pretty good. If I think, you know, it is, you know, one side is a lot of backwaters, and one side is, you know, a lot of green. It was interesting. And then I saw us just sitting there. So in that compartment of the train, there were a lot of students from Kashmir. So the whole compartment had a lot of students from Kashmir. So Kashmir is the other part of India. This is down south, and Kashmir is up north. So it's like, you know, they were coming, traveling from one end of India, top to bottom most. And they were so excited. So one, you know, we were crossing one river, and a lot of coconut trees and everything. And these people, these students, they caught up and they were just watching through the windows. They were just so excited seeing this. And I'm just sitting there and I was thinking, they are getting so much of excitement seeing this, and I had nothing. I'm seeing this every day, every single day, and I have no feeling at all seeing this. That actually made me think, what's actually this? You know, these people, they have, you know, so much, they are relishing this, but I have nothing. No feeling. You know, it's just another day, you know, the same thing, same river, you know, same coconut tree, what's the big deal? So, then, later I happened to read some books, and then I came to a conclusion, you know, this kind of thing, this cannot actually give any happiness. It's just a matter of time. One could go to the most beautiful place in this world, but if you live there, then the life is the same thing. It's just a struggle. It is again boils down to the same activities, eating, mating, sleeping, defending, whatever, the animalistic activities. So, same thing, even, you know, this diminishing return of value. Even, you know, nice example is we try to eat rasamalai, for instance. One or two rasamalai will be nice, according to one's capacity. After some time, to eat more means it is painful. You know, you say, "No, Prabhu, it's enough." It's like if you go to some, you know, devotee's house for some lunch or dinner, we are well fed, correct? To a degree that at the end we say, "No, Prabhu, it's enough." We had to start saying it's enough from right from the middle at least, so that, you know, we can cover up to the end, and then we can come somewhat all right. So this is how it is. Because materially we cannot derive satisfaction. If you try to enjoy more materially, it has to end up in misery. So that is the nature of this material world. And now we can ask why. And no one wants repetition. That's the reason people try for something different. Still there is no satisfaction. So we can ask why. Why is this happening? So I had to, you know, there was one answer to this. I will directly quote from His Holiness Vedavyas Priya Maharaj, because Maharaj gave a lecture in La Trobe University. So the title of the lecture was Boredom. You remember Boredom lecture? And the first sentence, or at least for one of the initial sentences he used, was actually answering this. So he said, I don't know, just I heard that and I was just completely blown away. It was amazing. He said, there is boredom. It's the same thing. Boredom and material satiation is all the same thing. So he said, there is boredom in this material world because of incoherence or disparity between the subject and the object. That is the statement he made. And it was really interesting. It was an interesting lecture. So there is disparity. There is no real cohesiveness between the subject and the object. And what is the subject? What is the subject? Huh? Yeah, that's right. That's the spirit. We are the subject. And what is the object? Matter. So there is no... It is incohesive. There is incoherent. They cannot mix. Just like water and oil cannot mix. So, you know, you can try to mix. Have you tried? You know, you can see the oil bubbles coming on top of the water. It won't mix. So even we are in the embodied position. So we have got a body that we are experiencing. Still, we cannot indulge in matter and derive satisfaction. So there is boredom in this world. There is material satiation and there is no satisfaction. So this is our position. Now, when you talk about the spiritual beauty, about the spiritual practice, that is also about repetition in one sense. Have you invented any new mantra for chanting? No. It's the same mantra. You know, yesterday Mataji was pointing out in Melbourne Uni that we like this, the same mantra, and it gives happiness. It is true. We are chanting the same mantra. If you think about our routine, it is pretty much, it's a routine actually. It's the same thing. We get up in the morning, we come for Mangalarati, Tulasi Arati, chanting. It's the same thing. Greeting of the deities, the same thing. In one sense, how could we handle such a thing? Now, materialists ask this question. How can you handle such a thing? It's the same thing again and again. Is there any change? Same with service. There are devotees who do the same service ages, for decades together. We can see Jagannath Vallabha Prabhu. He's doing the same service for so many years. Still he misses. If he misses one day, he is very upset. One day, he got up late. And I got up, I had to wake the Lord up. And I woke the Lord and I forgot to wake Prabhuji. Because usually he gets up, but he told, if he's not awake, because he doesn't use an alarm, so just knock on the door. So that day, somehow or other, he slept in and I forgot to wake him up. So I woke the Lord and I managed to do the milk sweet and did the offering. And I went in and after Mangalarati I saw Prabhu, and Prabhu was very upset. He said, "Why didn't you wake me up? I missed my service." I was thinking, we could sometimes think, okay, one day it didn't happen, it's okay. But that is an attachment to the service, the same service. It's a simple service if you think about. But a devotee is deriving joy out of the service. So even it goes year after year, one is able to continue that service. So one could question, how is it possible that a devotee performing the same service year after year and decade after decade and sometimes lifetimes? Sometimes there are some pujaris. The whole life, they have worshipped the same deity. Same deity. 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, like that. Same deity they have worshipped. So think about the attachment they have developed for that deity. Now, even if our philosophy is one should remember Krishna at the time of death. Then think about the attachment one would have in such kind of a service, with such kind of a service. Definitely, the Lord will definitely force into that mind without any doubt. And such a person can definitely go back to Godhead, no doubt. So that is the power of devotional service. Same verses we are reading, Bhagavatam. You know, we are repeating same verses. Those who are reading Bhagavatam many times, you know, some devotees say they have lost their count in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. No. We can count very easily, or it's sometimes difficult to count because there are not many times we have. But there are devotees who are telling they have lost the count reading how many times they have read Srimad Bhagavatam cover to cover for all 12 cantos. So still they have so much of taste in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verses that we like in Srimad Bhagavatam, we may be thinking or chanting the verses from Bhagavatam, but the same word, the same line can give so much of satisfaction. So that is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is on a different platform altogether. This is completely on the spiritual platform where repetition is giving satisfaction and happiness. And in fact, it is said, one is deriving newer and newer taste. It's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam itself. In the 12th canto, it is mentioned glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam. Tadeva ramyam. It is ruchiram. Ruchiram means ruchi, means taste. Ruchi is taste. You can understand taste means taste of prasadam. That taste. So ruchiram navam navam. So it is newer and newer taste. That is the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you don't have that taste for Bhagavatam, what is the process? Process is repeat. Usually, materially, repetition gives boredom, whereas here the repetition will give taste. Exactly the opposite. And then it is said, swadu swadu pade pade. That is, Krishna's pastimes are giving swadu swadu. It is giving taste, newer and newer taste, pade pade, in each and every step. It's the opposite is material world. It is said, padam padam yat vipatam, right? Each and every step, there is danger in the material world. Whereas in Bhagavatam, it is swadu swadu pade pade. Each and every step by step, there is newer and newer happiness, newer and newer taste. So, it is true, we can see even in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjun was there. And the whole scene is ghastly in one sense. It is horrible because millions of people are being killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And even before the battle started, Arjuna was perplexed and he didn't want to fight. Then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he completed 9 chapters. And after 9 chapters, he didn't say chapter 1, chapter 2, etc. It's a continuum anyway. In the 10th chapter, Krishna started describing his own opulence. And he actually spoke many opulences, and around 18 or 19 verses. After that, Arjuna is actually telling Krishna that, tell me more. He says, Bhuya kathe triptarhi shrinato nasti me mritam. That is, Bhuya, again, kindly Krishna, oh Janardhan, you tell me your glories, your mystic power, your mystic opulence again and again. I am not getting satiated by hearing your glories. I want to hear more and more. See, here, even though it looks like a battlefield, oh, it is a battlefield, and there is Krishna and there is his pure devotee, Arjun, but Arjun is actually relishing the association of the Lord. He is relishing each and every word spoken by Krishna. So he is in ecstasy. We shouldn't misunderstand the position of Arjun being a pure devotee. He is in ecstasy on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, even before actually fighting. It is mentioned specifically in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the purport. Because Arjun addresses Krishna as Kamalapatraksha. Kamala Patraksha. Kamala Patraksha means lotus eyed. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Arjun's address as Kamala Patraksha is out of ecstasy. Krishna is his dear friend, and you know, he's seeing Krishna for such a long time. He's his dear friend, so many years. Krishna was about more than 100 years. And throughout, Arjun is being associated with Krishna. And now, even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Arjun sees Krishna, his taste is renewed. And he's addressing, "Oh, Kamala Patraksha. Oh, Lord, with eyes are just like the lotus petals." Krishna, Arjun is in ecstasy. So this is the spiritual nature. And there is an answer to the question, how one get this newer and newer taste with repetition of the same spiritual process. So the answer is, out of kindness to the devotees, or by the very nature of the spiritual process, the super soul within the heart of a devotee reciprocates by giving newer and newer taste, newer and newer experience for the same event. So when we chant Hare Krishna, initially we may not have any taste, but just by repetition, one develops taste to hear Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Worshipping the deity, we may have no taste, but just by repetition, one develops attachment and one develops taste to worship the Lord. Same with reading Srimad Bhagavatam, same with hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, same with serving anything regarding Krishna, any service to Krishna, one can develop taste. It is possible. Because who helps? Super soul helps. And many times, sometimes the service which we do not want to do, there are services we are, you know, in the initial platform, we are in the neophyte stage, some service I will do, some service we don't want to do. Our nature is like that. But if you take up a service which we do not want to do, it's a matter of time, if you sincerely do, Krishna gives the taste. One can experience, one can experiment if we haven't experimented. One will get the taste. So this is the spiritual process, because super soul is acting upon us. He's thinking, okay, he's trying to do the service, okay, I'll reciprocate by giving the taste. So this is mercy of the Lord. And that encourages a devotee in serving. Now here in this verse, it's mentioned about Krishna, Shriyo Dhamangam. Shriyo Dhamangam. Shriya means beauty. Dhamangam means bodily reservoir. So Krishna is addressed as Shriyo Dhamangam. And before that, he is also Angam, who is that? Achyutam. Achyutam. So purport elaborately presents why the Lord is addressed as Achyuta. Chyuta means one who falls down. We are Chyutas because we have fallen from our eternal position. And the Lord is infallible, Achyuta. So he is infallible because even though he comes to the material world, still he is not affected by the modes of material nature. Lord can come in the any form of living entities. He can come as aquatic. He can come, as a half lion, in a half man incarnation. He can come in the human form. He can come as a devotee. He can come in any form. But in any form the Lord appears, still he is not affected by the material modes. So he is infallible. So we can never compare the Lord to an ordinary living entity. So Prabhupada stresses this point very much because of Mayavad misinterpretation. Because Mayavad is always says that when there is an incarnation of the Lord presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, they say that particular incarnation is made of the mode of material goodness, sattva. It is made of sattva. It's not transcendental, but it is just sattva. Even about Krishna, they offend Krishna by saying that his body is made of sattva. And his activities are just like activities of the demigods. This is the Mayavad conclusion. I have heard from scholars directly speaking, and they argue for everything. As the other day we were speaking, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. But they say, no, Divyam. Divyam doesn't mean spiritual. Divyam means something which is divine in the sense, it is still material. It is just within the modes of three modes of material nature. So this is their argument. They offend Krishna. And they say their activities are compared to the activities of Indra or Chandra in the heavenly planet. So they directly offend. So to avoid that, to counteract that, Prabhupada very clearly mentions what is our position, what is the position of Krishna. He is infallible and we are fallible. Now, that infallible Lord is presented here as Shriyo, Shriyo Dhamangam. That is, He is the reservoir of all beauty. So Krishna's beauty is such that we can imagine the most beautiful person in this world or the most beautiful person in our experience, our limited experience. We can think. There could be one person, one person who could be anywhere, could be very beautiful. But Krishna is millions of times more beautiful than such a person. So to to understand somehow or other what is meant by beauty. So we can be captivated by beauty of this material world, by a person. But think about that beauty and think about the beauty of Krishna. Millions of times beautiful than that is Krishna's beauty. So, and also, bewilderment by the beauty of this world, we had to see in an analytical fashion. Understand that this beauty is not going to last. Maybe for a few years. After that, there is no beauty. Mm-hmm. It is a disease and death. So this is the reality of this world. So one should, when there is bewilderment, one should actually take shelter of Shastra and think, what is the actual, is it the real beauty? Krishna's beauty lasts forever. There is no beginning, there is no end. But beauty of this material world, there is beginning and an end. And more importantly, there is no satisfaction. Because repetition, repetition gives actually, one is, it's just boring. No more flavor, there is no more taste. So, to establish the beauty of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam takes different approaches. So I was thinking one approach that is taken in Srimad Bhagavatam to present the beauty of the Lord. That is, deriding the beauty of the material world. One example we can see for this, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's prayer to the creative energy. Well, there is a nice verse. The verse is presenting a beautiful scene in the material world. A beautiful scenery. Preksham Kshipandam Harito Baladre. Harita. Harita means the green beauty of a mountain. A beautiful mountain, because people are interested in the nature. Many people are interested in the nature. So Bhagavatam is giving an example of a beautiful mountain which is full of greenery. It is very tall, and on top of the mountain, on the summit, there is gold and other valuable jewels. And presenting this mountain in a scene of sunset, when the sky is kind of reddish. So it's a beautiful scene. The scene is reddish, the sky is reddish, and there is a beautiful mountain, and there's a whole description about this mountain. Ratna Udadhara Disha Samanasya Vanasrajo Venu Bhujangri Pankre, giving a description about the trees and the herbs and the jewels and the gold in that mountain. And he's telling, oh, that mountain is so beautiful. And he's saying, and Lord Brahma says, when he saw the Lord, actually not Krishna, only Krishna's expansion and expansion of Krishna's expansion, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, after seeing the Lord's beauty, he was telling, this scenery, the beauty of the scenery, it is just insignificant. It is nothing. Similarly, we can see another example in the same chapter, couple of verses ahead. So, that is, it's again, because this section actually proves the beauty of Krishna, how it is much above the material beauty. Yeah, it's a very nice verse. It's in the 37th, just two verses from here. Sitata patre javane rupaskrade prasuna vasher abhivashidapadi pishanga vasa vanamalaya babho ghano yathakodupachaba vaidyatahi. So it is giving the Krishna's beauty in a very interesting way. Because first of all, this verse is presenting a contradictory examples of nature in which there is lightning, there is sun, there is moon, and there is cloud simultaneously. Can we have sun and the moon together shining brightly at the same time? Is it possible? No. And it is giving an example. Okay, there is sun, there is moon, and there is lightning as well. And there is nice rainbow. And there is dark cloud. Can we have everything together? No, not possible. Because it is contrary to the nature. But it presents, this verse presents that Krishna's beauty is such that it is just like having all these things together. So it is just to give a hint that whatever is not possible on the material platform is possible in Krishna. Krishna can handle contradictions. He can resolve contradictions without any problem. He can resolve it without any problem. And that is the beauty of Krishna. So if you pick all the beauty in this world, if you add them together, still that will not reach up to the beauty of Krishna. And how can we realize, how can we understand beauty of Krishna? We can see the beautiful deities. We can see the beautiful dresses of the deities. In that way we can think about Krishna. We can just hear verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we can develop appreciation for beauty of Krishna. So Bhagavatam is presenting, yes, there is different material beauties in different ways by nature, by different contradictory examples, but Krishna's beauty is far above than that. Now, here, the presentation of Krishna is in Dwaraka, correct? Krishna is entering Dwaraka. And the scriptures present even gradation of beauty of Krishna also. How it differs, how it increases from different places. So there was a beautiful conversation between Raghupati Upadhyay and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was just reading recently in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Mahaprabhu was asking questions to Upadhyay and Raghupati Upadhyay was answering. So the first question was, what is the highest form of the Lord? What is the highest form of the Lord? So we had to understand, Mahaprabhu is inspiring Raghupati Upadhyay to present the highest philosophy, the highest conclusions of the scriptures. So Upadhyay said, Shyamam eva param rupa. He said, Shyam Sundar is that the highest form? Then Mahaprabhu asked Upadhyay, okay, then what is the residence? What is the highest residence of the Lord? So he said, Puri Madhupuri Vara. He said, the highest place is Madhupuri. He was quoting Madhurapuri to make it clear that it is higher than Vaikuntha. Krishna's residence is higher than that of residence in Vaikuntha, as we can see in the next instruction. Vaikuntha, Janata, Vara, Madhupuri. The same statement Upadhyaya made. And then he asked, what is the age of Krishna which is more attractive? Then he said, Vaya Kaishorakam Dhyayam. That is, the best age is Kaishor. When Krishna is Kaishor age. Then finally he asked, what is the highest rasa? So Upadhyaya said, Adyo Eva Parorasaha. He said, the conjugal relationship, that is the highest. So even in the spiritual context, there is a gradation. Even the residence of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, that is going higher and higher until it reaches Krishna in Braj, in Vrindavan. So, here the presentation is in Dwaraka and Bhagavatam also presents Krishna in Madhura. So Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he reaches Madhura. Why he goes to Madhura? What's the purpose? To kill Kamsa. So, there, here the reflection, many of the verses are reflections of ladies of Dwaraka. Similarly, there are verses quoted by ladies of Madhura, glorifying Krishna's body, Krishna's features. So, it is mentioned, Krishna is glorified as Lavanya Saram Asamodham Ananya Siddham. Krishna's beauty is such that one point is, he's the essence of loveliness. He's the essence of loveliness. Madhurya is Lavanya Saram. And also it is mentioned, he's the Ekanda Dhamma Yashasa Sriya Aisharasya. Ekanda Dhamma means, he's the only reservoir. He's the one and only one reservoir of all beauty. Ekanda Dhamma. Yashasa, Shriya, Aisharasya, of beauty, fame and opulence. So this is the position of Krishna. So the ladies of Madhura are glorifying Krishna by glorifying his beauty, his opulence and his fame. And finally, even the residents of Braj, the gopis, they also glorify Krishna. They just remember Krishna. So it is mentioned, there are many descriptions of Krishna. There are many descriptions of beauty of Krishna in Bhagavatam. And the highest one is the description that is given by gopis themselves. So that is in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is mentioned in the 21st chapter, Barhapitam Nadavaravapu. So mentioning Krishna, how Krishna is presenting Krishna's bodily features, Barhapitam, he is wearing the peacock feather, Natavaravapu. Krishna is glorified as Natavara. He is a dancing actor. Even in Nectar of Devotion we can see the presentation of Krishna. He always dresses just like a dancing actor. He is a dancer. Same with Mahaprabhu, right? Gaura Nataraj. He always dances. Krishna also always dances. There is an eternal dance going on. And Krishna's beauty is, he is always perfectly dressed. Dhira Lalita, one of the features of Krishna, he is Dhira Lalita. He is a meticulous dresser. So that is beauty of Krishna. So, and Karnayo Karnikaram, and he has beautiful Karnikara flowers decorating his ears. And he has placed the flute on his lips. And it is mentioned that he is filling the holes of the flute with ambrosial nectar of his lips. And then it is mentioned, while doing this, he is just stepping to the forest of Vrindavan. Vrindaranyam Sopadaramanam. So the Vrindaranya forest, the forest of Vrindavan is already beautiful. It is the most beautiful place. It is the highest abode of the Lord. But still, Krishna is able to beautify the most beautiful place. So it is mentioned, Vrindaranyam Sopadaramanam. How he is beautifying the Vrindaranyam? Just by placing his lotus feet. By his lotus footprints, he is increasing the beauty of Vrindavan. Pravishyat Gita Kirti. And then all the cowherd boys, they are glorifying Krishna. So this is the scene. The gopis in Vrindavan are meditating. And this is considered the highest description of the form of Krishna. So Bhagavatam presents the beauty of Krishna in so many different gradations. Up to that in Braj, up to that in Vrindavan. And our aim is to understand different descriptions about Krishna, understand pastimes of Krishna, understand the beauty of Krishna through scriptures, see through the eyes of scriptures. Shrutayakshanapatha. We had to see, this is the process, Shrutayakshanapatha, through the seeing through the oral reception. So reading is also oral reception. So with that process, when you repeat, one develops taste to hear more about Krishna, one develops taste about the beauty of Krishna. Then we can actually go beyond the material beauties. And then one can derive actual satisfaction. And that is the only way we can derive satisfaction, and that is the only way we can develop detachment from the material world. Because Mahaprabhu came to teach knowledge and detachment. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. So detachment is part of it, but that detachment we derive through the process of bhakti. And that is possible by developing taste. And developing taste is by repetition. Repetition of spiritual activities. So I stop here and see if there are any comments, questions or corrections. Yeah. Is emperor of all sweetness.
Nobody getting better than
this. Yeah. It's a nice pastime. One time, Shrutakirti Prabhu, he was telling this pastime. Prabhupada used to like, or Prabhupada used to laugh a lot if there were any pastimes of Krishna. in which Krishna kills some demons and, you know, all the cowherd boys, everyone is very happy. When Prabhupada hears such pastime, he used to laugh and he used to hit, you know, like this he used to do, hit his hand on his lap. So after saying this, Shutakirti Prabhu thought, okay, I will actually, he would go through Krishna book and he would select these kind of pastimes. And whenever Prabhupada says, okay, now you read Krishna book, he would read aloud these kind of pastimes. And Prabhupada will hear, and sure enough, Prabhupada will be very happy and he will clap his hand and laugh like anything. So one day, Prabhupada just like that told, okay, now you read Krishna book. So Shutakirti Prabhu, he didn't prepare any particular pastime. He didn't pick anything. So he was a bit perplexed. Okay, which can I? So he asked Prabhupada, what can I do? You know, what pastime should I read? So Prabhupada said, don't worry, you pick anything and you read it. It is Krishna's pastimes are just like sweet ball. Even if you bite from any direction, it'll be sweeter. Doesn't matter where you approach from. So that is the nature of Krishna. So anyway, any aspect of Krishna is sweet. And everything is relishable. The whole Bhagavatam is full of relishable pastimes of Krishna. From creation to the highest pastime. Everything. One has to relish everything. Okay. Any further questions or points? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.